And we're fashionably late. What is up, everyone? I don't know if anyone's out there yet. I don't know if everyone got too tired. I don't even know what Christo said, but we're going to go ahead and get into it. We're running a few minutes behind. We've got a full panel. Everybody back. We got Ian back again. How's it going, man? Good to have you back.
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, trying to get in the mood for Christmas.
Looking like it. What's up, Christo? It's been a minute. You dipped out on the last one.
Yeah, I didn't like the whole group and that, so I decided to. No. But like, I miss you guys. I miss talking to you. I know Ian and I spoke, and I spoke with you two in the chat. I didn't have much time last week, but this week, after a win, I'm always here.
Yeah, after a win, but then also top of the table. Also, what the hell ever just happened in the Champions League draw? Dave, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about. I'm sure we're going to be chatting some shit. You got some shit to say, I'm sure.
Absolutely. But I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm finally getting a break from law school, as you guys know. So I'm letting my hair back a little bit, sipping a little bit while I'm recording. So I'm not responsible for some of my takes. feeling good, man. The team is playing well. The Champions League draw, we got the short end of the stick, of course, but what's fair is fair, because when I read up on it, it seemed like they did make some mistakes with Man United and also Atletico. So the right thing to do was to redraw. So because we got a tougher opponent doesn't mean that we're gonna start complaining about it, so let's not start that. But on the positive side, yo, what we did to Cagliari, I know they're the last in the table, but we're definitely looking like we're a class above not just Cagliari but the rest of the league, you know, which is what I've been preaching about, and finally we're seeing it. And I couldn't care less for being winners champions, but I'll take it as well, man. It's just a matter of if we could dominate the league for 2-3 years and have some stats, why not? You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at.
So yeah, someone, Mike, do you know the situation in the Champions League? Can you explain to people that may actually don't know what happened?
do we even know how to explain this? I mean, it was computer error. These dudes draw balls out of a bucket. Some pots. Like, it's not that hard.
Basically,
like, but I guess, like, they've had backup, like with the systems, those systems kind of back up where they put the balls, and those systems put Man U and Atletico in the wrong spots. And
exactly. From what I read, they had Man United as a possible opponent for Villarreal. And as we all know, they came from the same group. So that was a mistake that they made, and they made the same mistake with Atletico, something like that. But listen, man, let's all be honest, because before the podcast started, I was thinking about it, what I'm going to say about it. But let's be honest. Had it been the opposite, let's say the first time they did it, they made a mistake or whatever, we got fucking Liverpool, right? And then they redid it, and then we got goddamn Ajax. What do you think we were going to be saying? Like, yo, hey, what's fair is fair, man. They made a mistake. They have to redo it. You know, so just because now it looks like we're being fucked, so let's not complain about it, man. If anything, let's go and display our best football. It sucks that Barella's probably going to miss both of the ties. Let's hope that he only misses one. Let's put our best foot forward, and whatever happens, happens. The ball is round for everybody. Anything can happen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was still asleep for the first draw, so I woke up. I didn't know what was going on. I saw, like, I had, like, all these Fought Mob notifications. It was like, all right, Inter have Ajax, and then it was like, oh, no, redraw. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? But, yeah, I watched the redraw, and it came down. When it came down to the final four, and it was us, Juve, Villarreal, and Liverpool. And, of course, we can't have Juve because of same fucking God, I should have took notes.
Country.
Does anybody know about? Does anybody know what's going on with Saeed and his MacBook Pro? Like, what's going on here? Like, cause you guys are more.
Oh no! We got Dino Bomb.
Saeed is struggling to buy himself a fucking breakfast, let alone buy a fucking MacBook Pro.
Oh no, you're throwing shade because you threw about you yesterday.
Bro, that's only what it is. It's personal. Cause the thing is, Saeed is rolling in it, bro. Cause Saeed showed his car 2 days ago, bro. Saeed got money, bro. I'm sure Saeed got mad.
Car? Do you want me to download a photo of some car?
You're saying you're
broke ass bitch.
Oh lord. Listen. Here we go.
Let's just say that Risto's word do not represent the rest of the brothers of the world.
You know, nah, fuck that. I'm with Risto. Balkan sticks together.
I tried to save it, but hey, whatever, man. I guess we're riding.
This is what happens when we go. This is what happens when we go on after dark in Europe.
Yeah. Whatever is that little cup Risto sipping is definitely stronger than whatever I got.
It's definitely stronger, bro. It's Rakia.
Because he won't even take a full sip.
Rakia.
The half sips.
Lord.
What's up, man? Let's talk some football, man.
Yeah. I want to get back to some fun stuff, you know, talk about that match against Calgary. That was – talk about fun. Good God, that was – I was not expecting – I expected a win. But I was thinking that Mazzotti was going to put together, you know, some kind of terror ball and couldn't even put together like 20 minutes of competent defense. I don't know. It was once the floodgates opened, there was no turning back. But yeah, who do y'all have standing out in that match? We'll start with Dave since he's like this corner from me.
Well, I mean, it's again, bro, listen. People could say whatever they want about the podcast. I guess maybe we do have an agenda, but I'm going to say Haka and Sean Logan. All right? I don't know. Every time you ask me who's man of the match, I think it's always him. But today, it's undeniable. Just like against Roma, a goal and an assist. But this time, he met the goal, and the assist was a corner to Lautaro. It seemed perfect. And this guy, man, I don't know what else to say about him. He's found himself, and the form that he's in, and you see that he's also not only is he in form, but he's also in love with Inter and the fans. Every interview, he's always talking about how happy he is to be here. He's happy to be with his teammates. Is this? Is that? Like, yo, I hope he could keep it up, because I also remember the first half of the season for Milan last year. He was also very good, so he's gonna have a lot of answers. I mean, questions to answer next month going on. But right now, man, the guy's in blistering form, player of the month. He had his trophy, and he definitely showed a performance worthy of that trophy. So that's my man of the match, man. Hakan, what you guys got? Hakan FC, what's up?
Sharma claiming Hakan FC. Let's go.
You know, honestly, like, I went into the match expecting a win. I didn't know which kind of Inter we would be seeing. And it turned out to be, you know, the good Inter. Inter that wants to win and wants to dominate. And honestly, I think this has to be the best Inter side that we've seen the past decade in terms of, like, playing style. Because not only we are dominating the match, but also we're scoring, like, a huge amount of goals, which we haven't done before. And at the same time, we are considering less, you know. Inzaghi, who was supposed to be the attacking-minded coach that didn't give a fuck or two about defense, is the one that has whose team conceded less goals than Conte's. And that was something that Inter signed Conte for. But at the end of the day, he was there to stabilize the team, and Inzaghi took the reign and continued in a very good streak. So far, I'm glad of what I'm seeing. And the match against Cagliari is only, you know, the beginning of it. Because in a month, we have gained, like, what, 7 or 8 points when it comes to Milan and Napoli and the leading two, which now turned into, you know, a positive plus 1 point when it comes to Milan and, what, 2 or 3 points in front of Atalanta.
Three.
Yeah, and it's something that we have to be, you know, happy about, because next week we are playing Salernitana and then Torino at home before the break, not the international break, but the holiday break, which, you know, it has to be welcome because after the year, after, you know, 2022 starts, we are playing two hell of a months, and that's something that we have to talk about in the coming weeks, but let's not jump into that.
Yeah.
Cagliari match was something. Yeah, the Cagliari match was thrilling. Lautaro was really decent, but when he took the penalty, I was anxious. I have to say that, because himself and Sanchez, both of our attackers, do not have, you know, good stats when it comes to shooting penalties, and that's something that Inzaghi has to work on. I know that, did he say after the match that Lautaro is his main penalty taker? And like, I don't know, ironic considering his completion rate so far. But yeah, all in all, I think it was a good game. I'll let you guys, you know, elaborate more, and I'll say something when we make a great point so I can add to that.
Well, for me, it was really tough to choose like the man of the match. I think the whole team played brilliantly, except for Perisic. I think he was kind of slow to start, but he got the hang of it. Really tough to choose the man of the match for me. The whole team, like I said, played great. Love to see Zanotti played the last 10 minutes. Yes. Something Inzaghi sees in him. I love the fact that we're playing with a bit more younger team. Even Satriano got 20 minutes or so. Really like that fact. Great win against the last in the league, as expected. Keep on gathering points.
Yeah, I mean, I think we also have to spare a thought for Cranio in the goal for Cagliari. Oh my God, what a match. This guy got pelted for... God, how many shots did he face?
I think he was pelted for
90 minutes.
At the end of the match, there was a stat that said that he made 11 saves. And there were 24 shots, goal attempts from Inter, and 15 of them were on goal.
On target, yep.
Good, like, other than the penalty, which of course he conceded, I mean, that's also a great play by Dumfries, who I think needs also a mention here. That was probably his best game in an Inter shirt so far. Shades of Hakimi at times. That's another agenda we've been pushing here on this podcast. So it's good to see that one coming true too.
Yeah, we're thriving. All our agendas are thriving.
That means we have good takes. That doesn't mean we have agendas. That means we have good takes.
Good takes, absolutely.
We've got the quality.
But here, I wanted to circle back real quick. You asked me for the player of the match, so that was Hakan. But when we talk about the match in general, man, it's good. Risto said that he wasn't sure which Inter was gonna show up. I got to give him a little pushback on that, because I feel like for the past couple of months, or at least the last month in the league, we know what Inter are. You know, so I know we were going to win the match, but it was a matter of by how many, you know. Of course, like Risto said, I'll agree with him on that point. You know, I don't agree with Risto much, but that little parenthesis, when he's right, I got to agree with him. When Lautaro missed that penalty, I did get a little anxious, because I feel like that's how your luck turns sometimes. You know, you get the luck to score the second penalty. I mean, to score the second goal and put the match away, and you squander that. Next thing you know, you just get a cheap corner or a cheap foul. They cross a ball inside the box, and they get a header, and Handanovic doesn't bother diving. You know, so it could have gone like that, but thank God we came back and we just poured it on them, man. It could have easily been 7-8. Just like we did Sassuolo, or I think it was a couple of years ago, you know. So I'm very happy with this dominant performance, and I can't wait to see Salernitana, because it's going to be the same thing. And it's no disrespect to them, but I expect the same thing. We're going to run it up at least 3-0, because everybody's in form to a point where Inzaghi is really looking at his bench and deciding who he wants to give a debut to. He wants to give Satriano some minutes. Dumfries was definitely one of the best players. He could have scored a goal if it wasn't for Cranio being on top of his form, because he had that shot. I was looking at the replay. He had it angled perfectly, but Cranio is like a little cat when it comes to his reflexes. But it was one of those fun matches for Inter fans. We're not stressing. We could literally be on Twitter talking to each other, talking shit as the team really runs up the score. So that was a really relaxing match. And that's kind of the same experience I'm expecting for the next match against Salernitana.
Yeah, definitely. There was something else I wanted to get to from this match. I think it was Barella, who, of course, coming off of that red card, had a really good match, really good. Oh, he had two assists, yeah. But the second one, was it the second one? First one? Whichever one to Alexis Sanchez was
both amazing assists. Both of them.
Yeah,
that ball he had to Barella was like the ball he had to Lautaro for the fourth goal. It was pretty much like he placed it on Lautaro's chest for that fourth goal. So both of his assists are amazing. Of course, the juggling and stuff, that's something that you're gonna see on loops. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he reacted that way. And I also read that he apologized to the referee, and also Mendy, and also Inzaghi immediately after he got the red card. So that shows that he knows what he did was wrong, and he showed it on the pitch as well. Because you saw he came with a certain determination. He was putting shot after shot after shot after shot. At first, I was like, yo, it's one of those games that the Barella is going to be shooting and not scoring. But he finally had his impact, and I'm happy for him. That is good for his confidence going forward.
For sure.
I really like Barella in this match because he showed a lot of character. As you said at the beginning, he started shooting more and more, which it didn't concern me, but I was like, you know, there are a lot of better players when it comes to Cagliari about scoring against them. Just score against them, score a goal or two, and then you can shoot and, you know, experiment and whatnot. Just don't get the match out of your hands. But Çalhanoğlu, as you said, he was by far the man of the match because he did everything. He was running up and down. We mentioned a lot of time or many times before that he, you know, improved his game in terms of tackling and, being more than just a playmaker, more than just a 10, number 10 at Milan, which, you know, it's a great thing because he came here, in a sense, to replace Eriksen. We didn't spend any money on him, which turned out to be an amazing transfer so far. 6 months in and there's no regrets about anything. Same goes with Dzeko. We've seen Lukaku struggle with injuries this season, struggle with a bit of up and down in form. And so far, the transfers have panned out. We play great football. You know, we have a less experienced coach in Inzaghi, who plays a lot of, but he has a different playing style when it comes to Conte compared to him. So, all in all, I'm happy. I'm happy that we are struggling, or we are not struggling against the smaller teams, because we knew that, you know, teams like Cagliari were known to push the boundaries of Inter, and not only Cagliari, you know. We've seen some Doria, teams like Kiev in the past, Sorrentino, Sassuolo, you know, we steamroll against them. So it's a step ahead. But yeah, when it comes to the midfield, I'm very happy because we finally have choices.
Yeah, like Christo said, I really like the way Hakan is progressing as well. Like going back to defense tackling, I really like that. He's showing like the grinta, the desire to do well, even in the team on defense. But I will say, Bastoni, like Ricky Buzz said in the comments, Bastoni getting forward, dribbling, crossing, passing. Like this guy's the complete white center back. I really like it. Like there's this video of him dribbling in the opposition box going around. Absolutely lovely. Love that.
Yeah, he almost scored too. He would have pulled that off. You know, I mean, Acerbi did the same thing last season, but he, you know, pulled off the shot at the end. And everyone was like, yeah, this guy's looking like Messi at this point. But like, I think Bastoni is a better technical player than Acerbi, who is a really good technical player, which is funny to be talking about defenders. But like, I think it's a matter of time before he pulls that off. Like, I think we're going to see a couple of those going in eventually.
No, I think with him, it's a matter of first self-confidence and second having the coach's confidence as well. But the talent is definitely there. It's kind of like in basketball, like when a center is open on the three-point line and whether he wants to take it or not, you know? is like whether the coach is going to pull him off if he misses it and stuff like that. But Bastoni, he has the talent. You see, he has Inzaghi's confidence. At some point, he was right next to Sanchez in the box, you know, making calls for the ball and stuff like a center forward. So this team, man, I said it before. I have no clue. I can't explain what Inzaghi is doing, how he's able to do all of that and still maintain the solidity defensively, you know. So I'm very happy with what's going on. And, you know, our boy Sensi got to play some minutes and stuff like that. It's one of those big, happy performances where it's all positives. We really can't – we would really have to be nitpickers if we could really find some negatives in that performance.
In what Dave said, you know, when Bastoni goes up the field and he's the one that acts like a wingback, I've seen Brozovic drop deep and act like a third defender, or at least in between De Vrij, who goes to cover Bastoni's position, and Škriniar, who covers his right position. I've seen Atalanta do the same thing, because Darun was always the one that draws back and covers the position of either the left or right center back. So it's something along those lines. And it's something that Inzaghi worked towards, as Mikey said, when he was at Lazio with Acerbi. And now Bastoni, who is really technically much better, he's progressing that and taking it to a new level, which is amazing.
Yeah. It's like a continuation of his involvement in that second goal versus Roma last week. You know, he's just up there having fun. You know, and again, that's another match that Dzeko, which is a guy that we've all complained about, like, yo, we're relying on a 35, 36-year-old. Today, I mean, well, yesterday, he didn't even have to play at all. You know, those things are very important that we get to rest those old players. I just hope that on Friday, since we're playing, because you said next week, so we're playing them on Friday, Salernitana. Sia did tweet, I just saw it as well. They're playing a Copa match right now, actually.
They're losing to Genoa right now.
So that means that's something that works in our favor. You know, they're going to be, what, on 2 days rest when we see them? Jesus Christ, we should take care of business. I hope we could give Brozo some rest. I'm not sure if Inzaghi is probably waiting to just let him rest during the break. Maybe that's what's going to happen. But I would like to see him get at least a game off.
Knowing Brozovic, it won't happen, but still. He seems like the guy that wants to play every game, every minute till the end. Anyway, you know? Yeah.
Well, yeah, when he gets taken off, like, that guy, I would be scared. I would be scared to be the one that had to break it to him and be like, yo, I gotta have you come off, man. Yeah. But
he'll probably cuss you out.
What was that?
I'll probably just do the arms, man.
I'd be worried about catching one of those elbows. Just walk by, catch an elbow. But like, looking forward to the match against Salernitana, like, I don't think there's any worry from us at all. Like, it's something that started last season under Conte, where we were finally able to sit back and be like, all right, these are the smaller teams. Like, we're going to play like they're the smaller team, and it's gonna, you know, it's going to just be like cruising. Except, you know, under Conte, it was like 1-0, 2-0 cruising. And now, like, it's like 3-0, 4-0 cruising with Inzaghi. But it's just, I mean, there's so much going on right now with his tactics, the way the team's playing, the form everyone's in. It is, I don't know, it's still shocking to me in a way that we've gotten to this point this quickly. Like, God, 6 months ago, like, I mean, we were just hoping that, like, we weren't going to have to hire Mihailovic, and now, like, here we are. Yeah. So it really is, you know, I mean, so many turnarounds. Like, Inzaghi was like, all right, I'm about to put pen to paper with Lazio. Next day, he's like, all right, I'm an Inter. 2 days later, he's like, all right, well, Hakimi's gone. All right, Lukaku's gone. Eriksen, you know, has gone down. Like, he dealt with all of this and still somehow turned around, took everyone that Morata and Auxilio gave him, and put together a team that is top of the table before the new year. I think that is something that I don't think he'll get enough credit for, just because Inter won last year and were such a monster last year that, I mean, it's going to fly under the radar for some people. They're just going to be like, yeah, and this is supposed to be Inter. But
No, not for sure. I agree with you, Mikey, 100%. I want to say shout out to Fern. That's the guy that we always see him pop up every time we're streaming, no matter the time. Thank you, Fern, for being a big supporter of us. But back to Inzaghi, man. I have to give him credit because, you know, of course, there's got to be a balance. You have to try to figure out what you actually credit to Conte and what you actually credit to Inzaghi. But when we look at it, Conte ball and Inzaghi ball, they're not really similar. So it's not like we could say that he's building off of what Conte did. The only similarities I could say is the back three and the stability defensively and that mentality, the winning mentality. That's what I could give Conte 100%. But as far as the free-flowing, interchanging football that we're playing, Perisic and DeMarco, when they're on the left together, they're interchanging constantly. Stuff like that, you don't see that under Conte. DeMarco does not play under Conte. Point blank, period. And even less so as a left center back, you know? So Inzaghi is a guy that he's showing that he's innovative. He has he's modern as far as his ideas with the offense. And that's something that we're really benefiting. We're looking like a modern team. The only thing that has me a little shook about Liverpool is that we're not going to have Barella and stuff like that. But when you think about Inzaghi, to go back to something that Ricky Buzz has said, yeah, he said that he's not sure that we're 100% yet. I think Inzaghi ball is close to 100%, man, because when you think about it, he has everybody firing on all cylinders. Everybody's playing well. The forwards, Zeko got 8 goals, Lautaro got 10. Perisic, we've all been raving about Perisic. That's a guy that we're all crying for him to be re-signed. The midfield, come on, Brozovic, we want this guy to be re-signed. Barella, he's playing out of his mind. Hakan, come on. Darmian was playing out of his mind before he got injured. And the defense, it seems to be like interchangeable, whoever you plug in. You could put Skriniar in the middle one day. You could put Bastoni in the middle, whoever's hurt. The Frog was looking good. D'Ambrosio looks good there. So it's like Inzaghi ball is I think it's in full-fledged, man. The team is definitely firing on all cylinders, and it's a matter of whether we could sustain it long enough to just run away with the title and make an impact in the Champions League. But I'm very, very happy, man.
Who did we play last season in the first round when everyone was injured and Kolarov had to play on the left side with Fiorentina. Boston? Yeah.
That was the 4-3.
Oh my God. Yeah,
D'Ambrosio winner.
I think he played against Milan too, right? No?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the one that
the Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic was bullying him, yeah.
Yeah, like, and we have not seen hide nor hair of Kolarov, at least like not before like 85 minutes.
Inshallah.
Can only be good for this team.
But I was reading something that he's like an agent for us. Like he's been the guy he convinced Zeko to join. And now he's working on Kostic for us. So, I don't know.
Is Kostic that good for someone like him to...
I don't know because he's still at that team at 28, 29. That's a question mark. But his numbers are just crazy.
He's 29.
Yeah, I think it's like 28. Yeah, yeah. But his numbers are just out of this world.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Go ahead.
No.
If anything, I think we're more. I'd more be more interested in seeing us being linked to finishers, because the team we're creating enough. You know, we're just wasting a lot though. So I would like to hear some rumor about us doing some sneaky moves for Vlahovic, or even Skamaka. You know, something like that.
Back on the Vlahovic train, got to throw it in there a little bit. Got to sprinkle it in there.
Speaking of wasting chances, I have a question for you guys. Do you think Lautaro is the guy to carry us forward with the amount of chances he's missing, with the hot-headedness, the inability to convert penalties? Would you sell him if you could get like 80, 90 million?
As a second striker, I think he's the guy you go forward with, because he can lead a press and he, you know, is aggressive. He runs for 90 minutes, but as the guy that you need to put off, like cap those chances off, no. He's not going to be that guy. You saw Klopp talking about him and like saying he really likes him, and that's because, I mean, he's just the Argentinian version. He's the more aggressive version of Firmino, who doesn't score much. So, I mean, it's just like Dzeko beside him. I mean, Dzeko, like 5 years ago, that would have been the guy in this system. But
perfect guy. Yeah.
No, on it, like getting up in age, I mean, he can still be that guy like once a week, but like he can't be that guy like permanently. And Lautaro's not that player for me.
Yeah. You know, I mean, honestly, just sorry, Risto. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that, like, the next thing that we need to invest in is a proper striker, you know, someone that can score and convert chances, someone that's clinical, and someone that can actually replace Dzeko in a sense. Because a player like Dzeko, who's like tall, strong, fast, agile, and everything that he possesses, is hard to find. And if you cannot find that, you go for the next big thing or the next best thing. So yeah, I agree with Mike completely. Lautaro as a second striker is amazing, but I wouldn't let him be the main striker in a two-man system, because he's just not clinical enough. And we've been saying that for like two, three years, and he hasn't improved on that. And if you cannot improve in 2 or 3 years playing constantly, he may not be it. He may not be the guy that we all thought that he was.
You know, is this kind of harsh to be talking about a guy right now, a guy that almost had a hat trick in the last match? Like, guy got two goals, should have had a hat trick, should have had four, maybe. Like, he could have had an Icardi-type performance if he had his finishing boots.
But see, but that's the thing.
He's currently our highest scorer.
So what?
He's currently our highest scorer with 10 goals, you know? But
I didn't even know he had 10.
Yesterday he scored 2, so that brought him up to 10. Double digits. So listen, I agree. I think Mikey answered the question perfectly. If we're talking about us being in the system for the foreseeable future of a two-man striker system, we have the perfect second striker. This guy presses like a maniac. He has that attitude about him, that nastiness about him. He's good in the interplay as far as combining a little flicks here and there. Not even flicks, talking about what he did last time. He let the ball pass through his legs and stuff like that, dummies and stuff. He's good in the interplay. All those things are important for a second striker. But with that said, if we're talking about 80, 90 million to answer Ian's question fully, if we're talking about that kind of money and if we can reinvest that kind of money into the squad, then I'll definitely sit and think about it, because there's a guy that you guys know I love in Fiorentina that given his contract situations and rumors that he wants to stay in Italy, I feel like Vlahovic should be gettable for 50 to 60 million. You know, he's going to have 1 year left on his contract, and he doesn't want to go to England, supposedly. Supposedly. I mean, I guess when the Manchester United and cities come calling, that's going to change. But so far, he's saying that he's not really on the Arsenal wave. He doesn't want to go to England. He wants to stay in Italy, which is why Juve were the ones that were favorites. But if we could get 80 to 90 million for Lautaro, then yeah, definitely. I could say, let's do it. Let's go get Vlahovic for that amount. And then we could also get that either Alvarez or Jonathan David. And I don't think we will miss Lautaro much if we get any of those guys with Vlahovic. So that's my answer to Ian's question.
Yeah, see, because I was thinking the same. We have the blueprint. We have one half of the blueprint in Lautaro. We had the other half in Lukaku, but he decided to fuck off.
He fucked off.
Yeah, it's hard to find like that type of striker to fill Lukaku's shoes, you know, like the big, strong. Shouldn't be that hard to find a replacement for him. Seems that we are struggling, though. So I don't know.
And as we're seeing, it looks like it's much easier to find Lautaro's profile. Because we've been linked to what, 5 guys of that profile? We got Raspadori, we have Alvarez, we have Jonathan David, and there's the German kid that one's dead because you say he's going to Germany. But at least 3 strikers that I feel like every Inter fan would probably be okay with replacing Lautaro with, because those are guys that could play, that could score and stuff like that. So that profile of replacing Lukaku is being much more difficult to find. So right now it's either Vlahovic, who's out of our reach, or Skamaka. That's all I see right now.
Yeah, and when you talk about the 80 to 90 millions, like, of course, I don't think the club is turning that down at this point. Like, I mean, there's still, like, you know, reports that it's going to be another sell-to-buy type summer. I still think we're kind of far out to be, you know, speculating on that. Like, you never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you do know because of finances, but, you know, I haven't completely bought into that. But if you're throwing, if you're lobbing 80 to 90 million at a club 1 year post peak COVID, like, I don't think anyone's saying no unless you are a Premier League team. I just, and speaking of who would do it, I honestly don't see anybody swooping in for Lautaro at that price. Like, I think that's the only reason he's still here is because no one wants to pay what they would have to pay to get him, to get that type of player away from Inter right now.
I would say City, if anything. They have the money. They need a proper number nine. They need a proper striker. They only have Gabriel Jesus, and that's it. They're playing bloody Fernand Torres up top, you know? Yeah. I think
there's Arsenal as well, especially with Aubameyang now acting a fool, supposedly. So
true, yeah. Like, these are the teams that have, like, the Premier League money, you know? They have the sponsorships. They have the worldwide reach that gives them even more money, you know? I can see them spending kind of big, maybe not 80 to 90 mil. I'm still thinking pre-COVID market prices, you know? Mm-hmm. But still, like, I think sooner or later we will have to come to terms. All right, is Lautaro the guy to lead us forward? Because honestly,
he would be a meme in England, honestly, to me. I don't think he would score. They would hate watching him in England. Premier League fans would, he just, the way he plays wouldn't vibe with them. Same thing I think about Brozovic, but for different reasons.
I mean, they all laughed at Jorginho, and after everything Jorginho wanted, everything that he could. So, you know, they were laughing at him at the beginning, like he couldn't assist or anything like that. And at the end of the day, he was the one that left. So, you know, those kind of players are appreciated in the long run. They'll make fun of them and whatnot, but Lautaro will continue to score goals. Considering how bad defenders are in the Premier League, he will score like 20 goals like nothing. And 20 goals in Serie A in the past years has been, you know, like, it's expected from a striker to score 20 goals. And yet to this day in the Premier League, 20 goals is like, wow. I mean, fucking Harry Kane has scored like one goal the whole season so far. So, you know, Lautaro has been scoring for Argentina and in for Racing in the same league. Considering how physical the Argentine league is, comparable to the Premier League, you know, I don't think he'll struggle in that kind of sense. So having physical play plus bad defenders, he'll score goals. But it's not the right thing to sell him. Not after selling Hakimi and Lukaku. You're just showing a bad mentality. If you want to progress in the Champions League, which obviously you want to.
Bro, yeah. I hear what you're saying, Risto, but if this means we get Vlahovic, bro, this kid is scoring for fun. Hey. Listen, I let you talk. Let me talk, okay? This kid is scoring for fun, bro. Can you imagine just plugging him in all those chances that we're wasting in the form that he's in right now?
He's wasting the same amount of opportunity as Lautaro.
No way.
He makes his penalties, though.
You're saying that Fiorentina are creating just as much as we are? No way. I mean, I could give you the stats for expected goals. It's not even close. You know, so it's like people don't understand. Okay, we're waiting. We're riding the wave. Okay, we're happy. We're first in the league. I get it. We're playing beautiful football and all of that shit. I get it. People are happy, but we're so wasteful that it should be a problem. It should be an emergency. And we saw it in the competition that matters, for crying out loud, against Real Madrid. Here we are. All of us were on Twitter like, oh my God, we're dominating Real Madrid. We should be scoring. What the fuck happened at the end? We lost 2-0 because we can't score. And at the end of the day, when you're looking at the numbers, expected goals, we were higher than Real Madrid. So we played better. We created more chances, but we couldn't finish them. And they beat us 2-0. So yes, we definitely need a player, man. At this point, I would even swallow my pride and take fucking Icardi if it meant that.
I don't know about that one.
If it meant that those chances would be finished, because this team right now we're stuck in fifth gear, no, and we got a sixth gear that we need to get to.
The only thing that's finished is Icardi's professional career. That's it.
Yeah, he looks bad, bro. He looks like shit. I saw him.
Yeah, those pics of him.
You saw it in his eyes, bro. It's like, Blink, you need help, bro. Like
when you see Cardi without a haircut and a fade, you know it's a bad state of mind.
Yeah, bro. No side part. Chino would be hard, bro. Yeah.
The thicker the side part, the better he's doing in life. So
it's gone. Can you imagine him when he goes back to Milano and play for Inter? His side part would be like this big.
I mean, it'd be better.
Now there are rumors that he's supposed to be going to Juventus or something.
Let him go.
Oh, you've got some backup. Dave's got some backup in the chat.
There you go.
And it is true. Like, I remember seeing that stat. Our guy here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It was he had the most chances, most shots, and like no goals. So zero goals. It is an issue, but like, yeah, it really is an issue, and we are papering over it because we're scoring by committee instead of by one guy.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I think what we saw against Real Madrid, that should be a wake up call for all of us. It's like, okay, the league may be a farmers league. Okay, we're getting away with this shit in Italy, but in the competition that mattered, we could not do it. You understand? Real Madrid beat us on third gear, and we were all there sweating, trying to create. We were creating a bunch of chances, but couldn't finish them. That shit doesn't fly in Europe.
I do have one question about Vlahovic, and this might just be my ignorance of not watching as much Fiorentina as I should, but does he contribute in build up the way that, like, you know, we kind of need somebody in this system? Because I've always thought of him as more of the fox in the box type, you know, kind of a Cardi type where he's going to, you know, chill out in the box and then bang home.
I think he reminds me a lot of Belotti, but with a better, you know, structure.
Without a hunchback.
Who are you talking about? Vlahovic?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the perfect comparison to Vlahovic is a guy that we all love is Diego Milito. Perfect comparison. Perfect comparison. And I'm not the one that made the shout, but I definitely agree with it. He's a guy that he's good in interplay. He starts off the play, he finishes it off. He's good with the ball at his feet. He runs with it. He finishes. Like, I don't know. I guess I know it's emotional when we mention Milito, so nobody's gonna be like, oh no. But what I'm saying, bro, it's for sure. Like, they're very similar. It's not Belotti. Come on, don't disrespect the kid like that.
I just have one major downside to Vlahovic, and that's the fact that he's Serbian or under that.
No, everything. Fuck.
Well, I mean, he does, and like also the way he carries.
It's a non-EU spot. It's a non-EU spot.
Oh,
just saying.
Well, it just bought the only
and
thing
he's
that,
Serbian. Fuck Serbia.
The only thing that I worry about, well, other than I know everyone, yeah, that's a Balkan debate. I can't really just contribute to that here in the U.S. as a white U.S. man. But, the way he carries himself, I don't know if it would vibe with the rest of the team because, you know, he is kind of, you know, the big outspoken, like, alpha male, like, type where he is, you know, modeling his persona after Zlatan. Like, I just don't know how that would vibe with the rest of the team also.
He's that Akibaba of strikers.
I think that when you come from Fiorentina and you go to Inter, it's completely different. Like he would definitely have to humble himself. First of all, he would not get the number 9 right away. He probably would not even be the starter right away because it's not like that we would just Ben Zeko, you know. So
come on.
I'm sure he'd probably have to humble himself a bit before he could take over that persona of being a Zlatan or whatever.
I guess it's something to see for the future. I mean, I don't think Lautaro is going anywhere. Like I said, I just don't see anybody coughing up the money. I mean, Inter would take it. Beppe would take it. Like, but I don't see it happening.
I mean, but didn't they say that there were some offers for him last summer though?
Tottenham kind of, but yeah. you can't strip out. You couldn't have stripped out Lukaku and Lautaro at the same time.
Yeah, especially because Lukaku wanted to leave. So you cannot force Lautaro to go and Lukaku to stay, and Lukaku being like mad at Inter for not selling him to Chelsea the whole season. I mean, I don't think Inter will sell Lautaro, especially not this summer, but I said the same thing about Lukaku and Hakimi. So, it's time for Champions League talk.
I wanted to bring it to some Champions League.
Dave to say something about the draw because he's the most positive one when it comes to Inter.
All right, I'm gonna go through here and find all the chat.
I'm not with Ricky on that. I'm not saying we're slapping Liverpool now. But of course, Risto, I don't know, man. Like, just competitively, I'm not the type that lays down or anything like that. Like, I love my team, I believe in my team, and we're in such a great period of form. What do I look like talking about some, oh my god, Liverpool are gonna pump us full of goals? No, of course, it's going to be hard. If I have to give it a percentage, I'll say 65-35 right now to Liverpool. But 35% is something that I'll take. You know, hopefully we could put our best foot forward. I remember, if you want me to rationalize, I could definitely rationalize it. Atalanta beat Liverpool, I think, last year at Anfield. They played Milan this year a couple times, and Milan looked good the first time. Last time they played their second team, so it doesn't really matter. But I feel like if we put our best foot forward, we could give him trouble. Of course, I'm not a fool to say that we're favorites or that we're gonna pull it off. I know that we're gonna be underdogs. I know that it's gonna be hard, but I feel like we have our chances. And if we happen to have one of those games where our guys decide to finish the chances instead of waiting to waste two before they could finish one, then maybe, who knows, the ball is round for everybody. And also, you have Sadio Mane and Salah, who are going to be coming back from AFCON, I think, a couple weeks before they play us. So those are factors that could matter as well. So
AFCON finishes on the 6th of February, and we're playing on the 15th, I think.
But you also never know, there could be injuries or something. I mean, they also have Naby Keita will go off too, right?
Naby Keita. Yeah. So it's a matter, of course, it would take a lot of factors to go our way for us to pull it off. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not laying down. I'm not already looking forward to having one match a week so we could secure the Serie A. If anything, I'm looking forward to seeing what we have, what we could show against a team like that. I'd be very disappointed to see us really go out there and wave a white flag. So that's where I'm at.
First leg will be at San Siro, if I'm not mistaken, too. But that's the one that we're definitely going to be missing Barella for, regardless of the second match. And that's where I really worry. I pulled up Fern's comment here. Regardless of what happens to Barella's card, need a new midfielder for Champions League. I mean,
absolutely.
Like, you can't throw Gagliardini on an Anfield. You cannot throw him in a midfield against Thiago and Fabinho. That does not work.
My head. That's why, like, as soon as I saw the draw, my first thought was, yo, listen, we're going to have to put Vidal on the ice for a whole month. Like, tell Vidal, you're not going to play. You're not going to train too hard. You're
not going to drink.
You're not going to – I don't know about that. I don't know if you can get him to not drink. That's something that he
you can do anything, but he's not a miracle worker. Come on.
Like, yo, listen, I could try, but I can't work miracles, you know. But, like, put him on ice, make sure he's fresh, make sure he's motivated, and see if he could give us one of those throwback performances, man. That's our only hope. And all us hope that the fact that Barella was really apologetic, that they could reduce the suspension, and it's only one match, and we could have him back the second. But to piggyback, because Fern has been asking some good questions, he asked about the midfield. Of course, the pipe dream for all of us should be Wijnaldum, at least on the loan, you know, because there's – don't give me that look, man, Risto. Because there's talks that he wants out and he's not happy. And, of course, we all remember the interview when he was talking about talking glowingly about us, about how we really made him feel good about himself like that.
Well, it made him feel too good if he went and fucked off to PSG instead of signing for us.
But you, but no. He did say that. Listen, he did say that we pulled the offer. That's what happened. We pulled the offer. That's because Suning told Morata, like, yo, what you talking about, Wijnaldum? Because strengthening the squad. What are you talking about? We're trying to strip the squad. So that's what all those offers, all those players we were talking about, like, we pretty much never materialized. But if we could work something out where they just want to get him out and they could pay some of the wages, because, of course, we're not going to be able to afford it, that would be so key for us to have a guy like that to go to back to Anfield. But on a more realistic standpoint,
that would be fun. That would be fun, Wijnaldum going back to Liverpool.
Yeah, in an Inter shirt, right? But yeah. I'm not even sure if Fratesi is a realistic thing as well for January, because he's a key member in that Sassuolo squad who are playing very well. They're beating all types of teams right now. They're playing out of their minds. Raspadori and Scamacca, we all been scouting them. They're playing very well. So I don't think they're going to mess that up in January. If we're going to talk about realistic, I'd say the only guy that we could realistically bring in is Nathan Nunez in January. Other than that, any major upgrade is going to take a miracle, and also is going to take a outgoing transfer as well. So hopefully. And to answer Sharma, listen, when there's football, I reschedule any dates, any Valentine's Day stuff. So trust me, Inter comes first.
Oh, is that on Valentine's Day?
One day after.
Oh, day after? Oh, day after. That's fine.
Oh, I'm fine. Say, I'm
day
fine,
of.
Fine.
Well, day
look,
of.
Look,
even,
Mikey was concerned. Mikey was more concerned
yeah.
than me. All right. You're talking about
you
me.
Were too, Dave.
With my Mike, that's the thing. You're always focusing on me. We're talking about Mike.
nah. I was just worried because, I mean, I would like going into that match, if it were a match that, like, I don't know, like a day ruining. That's not a day ruining match unless we get like five put past us. That's not a day ruining match.
Yeah, exactly. As long as we're respectable.
You know, it's easier to play it or to watch the match in the US because, you know, your day will not be ruined. It will ruin like 2 hours of your day and that's it. But if you're here, then your night turns from date to nightmare. So.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
you guys,
yeah.
For you guys, it's at night though, so that's good. That means you could have a good day, and then
you gotta ditch out on the date to get to.
Yeah. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about y'all. I'm already starting to look at tickets and hotel prices for February. So
that's right.
Are you going to Liverpool or are you going to Milan?
I was thinking both. I already started planning the trip to Amsterdam.
Okay, Brothers of the World is going to be in the house. Okay. I mean, I don't know if the other podcast got people in that's going to be reporting live from Champions League matches, but we do. I mean,
you know, that's the next thing. Going live in the 15-minute break at halftime with Ian giving the report directly from Milano.
Oh, I tried it with Sharma, but usually the Wi-Fi shit, like the server data is very shit.
Of course it's shit for Sharma. Come on.
Hey, man, listen, I'm not going to tolerate any Sharma slander around here. But this guy said Gagliardini is going to pocket it. I don't know, man.
That's my favorite comment. That's the comment of the day.
He will once me and Chris go to the stadium and start shouting Balkan slurs at Gagliardini. That's gonna fire him up,
bro.
Well, I mean, we've got Ranocchio who played with him.
Was it Henderson?
Who was the third guy?
No, he played with Maguire, I think.
Yeah. It was Maguire and was him.
It was Robertson, I think.
Robertson. I was like, somebody was there. We got some insider info.
We got the best out of the three, you know.
I'm not, I can't let you guys weasel out because I feel like I just poured my heart out about how I feel about our chances in the Champions League, and you guys are kind of like weaseling away. I want to hear you guys. What's going on? Risto, Mikey, Ian, how do you guys feel? The people want to know.
All right, Risto, go first.
No, as optimistic as I am, we're fucked. But not because Liverpool are, you know, out of this world. We've seen Salah struggle against Nagatomo, so anything's possible. We know that Firmino is not someone that can, you know, just go breeze around the Vrij, who's also very mobile and very good when it comes to positioning. So him going against someone that's as good as the Vrij is in that sense, it's tough. So the same goes for Mane, who, you know, I think is the best of the three when it comes to the matchup against Inter. But all in all, I think we have a chance against them. I think Ajax would have been a better opponent because we have a bigger chance of going through against Ajax. But, you know, shit happens, so you have to adapt. And because when you play in the Champions League, nothing is easy. And you have to go through teams like Liverpool, whether now or in the semifinals. It's better to beat them now so you can have a clear path to the next stages than Ajax, let's say. But yeah, I think I'm more optimistic than usual because you have nothing to lose. I've always said that the Serie A is always a priority for me, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You go in the Champions League, have fun, try to make a progress, play the best as you can. As I said previously, this Inter is different than other versions of Inter. So, you know, I'm happy as of now. So I'm optimistic. Let's see how January is going to treat Inter, the matches leading to Liverpool, and especially the January transfer window.
Yeah, leading up to Liverpool is pretty rough. I think we do need to mention that. Like, it is a Lazio Supercopa against Juventus, which I think is in Saudi Arabia. So that's traveling to Saudi Arabia, coming back, playing Atalanta in Bergamo.
This shit is rough.
Yeah, well, Venezia there, you get a little bit of a break. And then I think you're playing – there's a certain international break right there.
No.
Or there's some kind. There's a 2 week. It looks like there's a 2 week break. Maybe I'm doing my math wrong, or just because I haven't set all the dates. But then you have the derby, then you have Napoli, then you have Liverpool, then you have Sassuolo, and then it kind of lightens up. But
let me see.
So the first. That's why we can't fuck off with Salernitana and Torino coming up. I mean, if we could, if at this point, if Napoli could even beat Milan on Sunday, that would be a good thing for us if we could actually beat Salernitana and start actually building a little league. If by the time we hit that tough part of the schedule, we could be 6 to 7 points ahead of them and afford to leak points here and there. But that's what we need to do, man. Because looking at that schedule alone, I had to really go on my own app to make sure that wasn't a screenshot from somebody else just fucking around. It's brutal the amount of games the teams that will be facing back to back to back to back every 3 days. That's crazy, man. That's like suicidal.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, but I do like the point that Dave made about somehow, for whatever reason, Liverpool not looking as great against Serie A teams. I think that is kind of strange. I mean, like, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if it's some kind of clash against his gigapressing, gigapress, gigawatt style, whatever it is. But, I mean, if it's going to be press versus press, it's going to be two teams that like to play high up the pitch. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I do think we have a big gulf of quality between the two in the midfield if we're without Barella, which we will be for at least one match. Mm-hmm. And I mean, given the circumstances, I would take Nandez. I mean, but taking him out of a team that, you know, is a clown show and then throwing him into this Inter team that is going to be in the Champions League, like, I mean, that's a big jump. I don't know how much of a difference it would make, but it would still be better than Gagliardini, all things considered, most likely. But you know, there are a lot of things that can happen between now and then. We saw Liverpool get a massive injury bug last season with Van Dijk out for a really long time. I mean, they had to bring in dudes from like Schalke and like all kinds of other places just to, you know, fill in the holes. I mean, that could happen to either team at any time. You know, I'm not expecting us to progress. I'm expecting a really good performance at San Siro. I mean, whatever that means, if that's like maybe 1-1, 2-1 win, maybe at most. And then you go to Liverpool where they're going to blitz you. I mean, you know, it would be a matter of holding on. If we have to go there and chase down goals, I'm not expecting anything. But if we go there with a lead, I mean, anything can happen. And there's no away goals, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, they
on this year forward, no away.
Yeah, they did away with that rule, so thank God.
Yeah. So even if Liverpool put two or three past us, I guess if we 3-3 draw, I mean, we don't have to get three away goals if we draw another match.
That's the thing, bro. I don't know. Call me a fool, man. I do not. Thank you, Risto. I do not fear that we're gonna be pumped full of goals, man. I do not fear that. Like, we're most likely gonna lose the tie, but it's not gonna be no 3-0, 4-0, and we look like we don't even belong.
If Perisic can get in behind Alexander Arnold with the way that they play, I think we could be in business because he is not a very defensive right back. He is he is Hakimi, but Hakimi without a year of Conte ball. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there are some mismatches there that if we can exploit them, I think you're right, Dave. We could be pretty decent.
I wish I had your guys' confidence and even the confidence of Nick Knox in the comments saying 3-1 first leg win, 1-1 second leg. Like, I don't know what you guys are smoking. Oh. Maybe it's not the Zaza, but like, come on, man. Realistically, we're going to get blown out. Or aggregate 2-0, 2-0, probably 4-0 aggregate. Just my way of thinking. Me being the cynic that I am.
Just in case. Take a screenshot of it. You never know, man. Like, that's one of those things that we would love to be wrong on that one. But I think the first match is also in a San Siro, so that's probably why he did say that. I don't know, man. Who knows? Plus, it's in February. We know in football, man, a lot of things could change between now and then. You know, like injuries, just drop a form for fuck's sake. So let's see. You know, we could discuss it more seriously when it's closer to that date, because we will know more about the team's run of form and available players or whatnot.
Yeah. There's plenty of time between now and then to talk about it and to see what happens, which is a good thing. If we were having to go play them next week, I'd be like, oh, fuck. But it actually might be better for us in the long run because we wouldn't be in the middle of the run we're going to be in at that point. But, you know, Champions League, anything can happen. We've seen anything happen. We've seen Ajax beat Real Madrid. We've seen Juve lose to every team they were supposed to beat. So you never know. We've seen, you know, Roma beat Barcelona. I mean, you never know what can happen in this competition. So it'll be one to watch. We'll be milking plenty of content out of that one between now and then. But yeah, we're pushing an hour 5 here just about. I think we've just about wrapped everything up. We can go around the table one more time, get everybody's last remarks on whatever y'all want to talk about. We start with Ian. Anything you want to add?
Nothing really. Hit me up if you want to go to the San Siro. Anyone on Twitter, I'm down for the game.
You don't have to. He's not very safe to go with.
Oh, come on. What about you, Chris? Have you got anything?
I'm just happy that we're playing in a good form. I'm just happy that Salernitana is the next team that comes to or is on Inter's radar. And we're finishing off the year with Torino at home. So 6 points out of those two matches, finishing up as first in Serie A is a nice New Year's gift. So I'm happy.
Yeah. What I got to say is the same thing about Azuristo, pretty much. I'm glad that we got this little soft schedule to finish off the year. I hope we take full advantage. And I have full confidence that we will. And you know, just follow me on Twitter, Forza Enter Haiti. I'm always talking shit. I say some good stuff sometime. And if you were twerking for Milan or another team at some point, there's some chances that I have some screenshots of you that I'm waiting to post at some point. So
you're gonna hear from me. Your own screenshots twerking to Lotto or to Liao.
To Liao, Liao is playing well. Plus, I twerk for Zielinski as well. Zielinski got what, 6 goals, just like Hakan. Listen, I'm never wrong, bro. I'm like Dave Stradamus. All right, listen, the
enlightened Nostradamus.
If you were an object, you would
look at Ian hating down there, rolling his eyes.
I'm just saying, there's someone in the comments right there that has beef with Dave. MB Games HD. I'd love to see more of that. Just saying.
That's the same guy that said Cesaro was gonna come good. So I don't know, man.
Mike, what about you?
This would be some more. What do I want to say? I do want to say, I guess it's just, you know, PTSD from some of the rougher years, but beware of the winter Scudetto. You know, we saw Milan last year, you know, they got their winter Scudetto, became all memes. We saw us do that years before. We saw that under Spalletti. We saw that under Mancini. Like, I don't know. I don't want that again.
It's different.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it looks different. It feels different, but let's hope it truly is different. But yeah, I'm looking forward to some fun against Cagliari. I mean, not Cagliari. We already had that. That's some fun against Salernitana. I'm sure if it's a big enough win, we'll be on after that if everyone's energized and ready. Torino, I'll watch out for a little bit more. Juric, you never know about that guy. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun time to be an Inter fan. It's a fun time to be chatting shit on the internet about Inter. So, I mean, thanks everyone who, you know, has come out to the chat. It's been a very busy chat today. I mean, we've actually, you know, I can see who's watching. We've got more viewers than usual. We're getting a little uptick. I mean, 8 to 10 has been good to see, whether our, you know, usual like 2 to 6. Sure. So that's nice. Somebody's dropped off out of spite there, but you know, it's been good.
I want to make sure I say thank you for everybody, man. No matter whether you agree with me, disagree with me, telling me to fuck off or whatever, like, thank you. I appreciate everybody coming in and participating. At the end of the day, we all seem to love Inter, and that's what brings us together, whether we agree or not. So thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for coming through.
Yeah, everyone, whether it's live, whether you're listening to this audio version online after I, you know, get it up, after I, you know, take forever to do that. But yeah, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, whatever platform, like, share, subscribe, do whatever you got to do. Do whatever you want to do. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you all pretty soon for the next